Are you ready? The guy, you have to have seen this, right, Matthew? The guy that got kicked in the head. Come on. And this week, my What the Piggle segment is, how long can you drag out a paddle release? I mean, what's up, ballers? Jacob here with the All Drive, No Drop podcast. We've got a special guest today. Of course, we have David from Tickle My Pickleball, but we're also joined by Matthew K. from Matthew K. Pickleball. Wasn't real creative with his name, but you know exactly who he is. He's Matthew K. Matthew, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining us. I hope you have a special surprise for us. You know, I told you to bring a special surprise. We'll see what we got.
I'm just surprised to be here. We were getting our screens figured out. I was in outer space for a minute, and just seeing my heroes in front of me, it's just an honor.
David, how are you doing today?
Good, man. I think you guys will probably hear more about this, but we had to push this episode back a bit not the episode itself, but the recording, just so we could watch the MLP final. So looking forward to talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else for the intro. Let's just jump into the MLP finals. It's fresh on our minds. One of us might have not watched it, but that's okay.
But I was walking my dog.
Oh, so. It was on all day.
Well, it was a long walk.
Fair enough. I mean, you do need to get those long walks in. Let me set the stage for anyone who wasn't watching or, you know, was in the camp like Matthew K. here. We had the Dallas Flash versus the New Jersey Fives. New Jersey Fives is Annalee Waters' team, basically. Annalee Waters, Will Howell, Zane Evertill, Mari Humberg versus the Dallas Flash, the Johnsons, JW, Georgia, and Tyra Black and Augie Guh. So basically, they played all day. They did a best of three match finals. So they played, you know, what they would do, like the women's men's doubles, two mixed doubles. They did that three times. So, I mean, and of course, it went to the full three. So I think they started at 11 Eastern, and it just finished now, maybe like 10, 15 minutes ago at 8:15. So they didn't play back to back to back. They like spread it out with like the third place final, too. But that's, you know, that's a long time to have a final. I guess, can we talk about that real quick? What do you think about like a marathon final for the fans? I mean, that's kind of hard to watch.
Especially if you're sitting there, because I know the commentators are like, some of these people have been here since 10 a.m. And this was in Florida, so I'm assuming it was like 10 a.m. Eastern. Now it's 8 p.m. You're there for 6 hours. I don't think that's what you want to watch. I mean, that's just me.
No. And I'm guessing Matthew is he's definitely not watching an event that lasts over 6 hours. Am I right?
Only dog walks.
You're gone. Yeah, that seems like, I get why they wanted to do it. You know, you get the best winner. And New Jersey won the first match too, right?
Yeah.
So and then New Jersey ended up losing. Spoiler alert. Sorry, I should have said that before. But yeah, spoiler alert. New Jersey ended up losing. So if they just did that regular one match, New Jersey would have won. I think it's too long. I do want to say, like, nighttime final, I think you're going to get better energy in the crowd. And I think it looked really good. I think it looked better than, like, daytime. What did you think, David? Did you like that?
Yeah, I think definitely, now that you mentioned it, I mean, you do have people, like, huddled up in blankets and jackets. But, yeah, I think, to your point, usually sporting events, you have that nighttime backdrop. And I think it did look good for it.
Yeah. Matthew, would you show up at nighttime more? Are you more of a nighttime guy, or is it like, would you rather it be during the day?
For pickleball, I like everything to be day. Like, night is, it's tough. It depends. I'm sure they had great lights, but yeah, I'd prefer day for me personally.
No, I wasn't there, but the lighting looked really good. Like, I thought the lighting looked excellent. Like, I don't think they're having a problem seeing the ball. It didn't look like they were when they're playing.
Yeah.
But anyway, last match, really the most important match. Dallas Flash have the lead, 2-1. They send out Augie Guh, Tyra Black to close out the match against Annalee Waters and Will Howes. I don't know if, I'm sure Annalee's lost during the season, maybe. I don't know. But just, she just has a feeling when she comes on the court in a clutch moment, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way she's going to lose. But our boy Augie Guh, he just stepped up I mean, Tyra was really good too, but Augie Gut closed the match out. He was aggressive. Yeah. It was good. I really thought they were going to, like, and that's kind of like how the Fives built their team, is to be like a Dream Breaker team. And we could talk more about, like, you know, like optimal strategy and MLP too. But what'd you think about Augie Gut's performance? Do you think he was like the MVP? You give him the MVP just for that final match?
I think even beyond that, because I think before that last match of that best of three series, I think him and J-Dub were pretty much undefeated up until like that last men's match. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I thought, I was a bit worried there because they were, might have been a bit shaky going into it because of that loss. But, you know, he really did step up. I think he was a bit shaky still on some of his thirds. I think the commentators were picking that up. Like, they weren't as consistent, but, you know, he really did step up at the end. He closed it out.
Yeah. And I like that he went for the drive on the last point. Like, he's like, yeah, we're not going to, you know, go for the drop. He went for the drive, and he was looking to follow it up right away.
So, with the prism too. So,
do you think he's still using the prism, or do you think he switched to the saga? I guess
it's a prism.
Yeah,
prism. Yeah, they zoomed in. It's a V7 prism.
Okay. Yeah, I guess if you had the saga, you'd be able to see like the design.
Yeah. It's still that purple.
That'll be interesting to see if he switches to the saga. That's crazy that he's out there with the prism and he's making it work when everyone else is using a power paddle. I mean,
yeah,
that's insane. Actually, I guess like Tyra was using the pickle on the court. And then Annalise obviously using her paddle tech. And then Will, he was using the Franklin, I think, right? I think he was using Franklin. So I guess no one was using a Yola on the court, which is unusual when you're watching like a PPA MLP event. Exciting finals. You know, I haven't been watching MLP all season, but I usually like to tune in for the finals. And it was pretty exciting. So if you haven't seen the match, I would go check it out. I think there was good energy. Everyone was pretty fired up. Some interesting line calls. So they have like a new review system where it's like a ball AI, I think they call it. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it was like some AI thing where like it takes I guess it looks at the camera and then it shows like overlays the ball on top of the court and then has this like AI draw a circle. Like, is it touching the line or not?
Yeah. So that's, I like that, especially, like, it seems like, you know, both teams were trying to kind of, like, pressure the other team into, like, overturning their own call or just acting like they were ridiculous on a call when, like, I think both times the team was right. And when they were calling it so confidently and it's, like, right, like, literally on top of the line. So whether it was in or out, I think there was two that were, like, one was out, but it was just, like, bare, like you couldn't, there's no way you could have seen it out, like if you're watching, and then one was in. To be that confident on these balls, I mean, like these were like fast overheads, but it's kind of crazy, like you know, you're getting pressured into these calls by the other team. I mean, I guess that's just how it is.
Yeah, but that's like the whole crowd aspect of MLP, they kind of get in your head.
Oh, that kind of reminds me, yesterday during a match, I guess there's a new rule. You don't have to make a call right away. You can ask your bench real quick. I don't know if you saw this moment.
I saw it with Augie today, actually.
Oh, did it happen again today? Yeah, so like I didn't know that was a rule, but that kind of brings me to another point. So they took like 5 minutes to figure this out, and it was all over, were you allowed to ask the bench? And I'm like, you can't stop play for 5 minutes. Like, you got to know this rule. So that's just kind of crazy. Like, and it was like, I forget their names, but it was one of the more experienced refs. Like, I've seen her around quite a few times. I'm like, you can't be pausing the game for 5 minutes over something you should know. You got to keep the game moving. How long would you wait around, Matthew, if they pause the game? Like 10 seconds, 30 seconds? Or are you gone?
No, if I'm watching, I'm committed.
So you're committed? That's good.
I'm there till the call.
That's good. But yeah, anything else, David, on the finals? Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch. I will say the JW Johnson and Georgia, like their mixed match was a lot closer than I thought. Yeah, I think the Fives were trying to do like, oh, we're going to kind of sacrifice Zane and Mary and then have them like lose that match and then we take over in the end. But then it just seemed like everything was like flipped in that last game. Like the women's ended up losing for the Fives and then the men's won, which is the opposite. And then the different mixed teams, and then both mixed teams ended up losing. But it was Yeah, it was just an interesting one. But then, like, the finals itself, like, I thought Anna Lee Waters was going to come back and put it into a dream breaker. Like, when that point ended, I was like, oh, that was it. But it was still fun to watch.
Yeah, that it. I still can't believe she didn't come back. And you're right, when that mix match was crazy. They almost blew it. I think I don't remember how many game points they had, but it was at least like 6 or 7
Yeah, it was a
game
good point
points.
there.
And I thought they were gonna blow it, but yeah. That's all I got for the MLP finals. And any last words on that one?
No, I'm good on my end.
Matthew, are you gonna watch next year?
Next year. Maybe. I mean, I do I did a league with the whole Dream Breaker thing, and it's definitely an interesting format. So I
Yeah.
could see why it would be engaging.
I got you. Do you play a lot of singles? I don't even play singles.
I do not play a lot of singles. I play a lot of rec play.
Got you. You play singles, David?
I used to, but right when I switched over from tennis, but I just don't like it as much.
Yeah. I thought I liked it when I switched over from tennis, because of course you're used to playing singles more. But yeah, just not my thing these days. I even just like warming up, if I play singles, I'm like, man, I get tired so fast. Just getting too
I just
old.
like it's like at like a lower level, like the points just end too fast. And it's just like I personally think like singles doesn't really have too much of an identity. Like it's either mini tennis or it's just it's like a sport that's just, it goes on like way too quickly. It's like you either drive and it goes in, or your drive misses. And especially at that lower level, like it's just all, it ends on the third shot or the second shot. So it
Yeah.
just wasn't too fun for me.
Got you. All right. I kind of have the same feel of singles. I just rather play. If I was going to really do singles, I'd just go play tennis. So that's,
Yeah.
All right. Very excited here. We always like to get to the segment, even though it's only 4 episodes long with the segment. It is What the Pickle. And this is brought to you by Enhanced Pickleball. And their main product is the Dinkmaster Pro, one of my favorite training tools. Just love it. Get to test my paddles on it, and honestly, you get to practice your dinks, your hands. If you go outside, you can even practice your serves on it if you really have all that space. But for me, just dinking, practicing my hands, practicing my speed ups, that's what I like to do with it. Has a really great ability to move it around, great true balance, better than using your basement or garage wall. Black Friday sale still going on. Retail price 420 goes down to 300, then 285 with the code. Best time to get it right now. So glad they could sponsor What the Pickle. And this week, my What the Pickle segment is, how long can you drag out a paddle release? I mean, this might not this has really just been building, and you guys probably know what I'm talking about. But geez, this paddle release has been affecting my life, because I just get asked this question so much, and I've never felt this type of way about a paddle release before. Yes, I don't know. You can sense it. Is there frustration, anger, all kinds of stuff coming up? I know it's not, there's a lot of parties at fault. Not, it's no one's fault. No one wanted this. But how long can you drag out a paddle release? Well, if you want to go by how long it's been in the making, we could say 20, I think 26 months for the ripple. I think I heard about this when I almost first got into pickleball, the rumors of the ripple, and this thing has just been dragged out for so long. I made a best power paddle video with the ripple in it, and that was like 3 months ago now, I think. So my bad on that. I thought it was coming out sooner. But we do have an official date now, December 6th. And so we'll probably be talking about the ripple here, and I'm sure you'll see tons of reviews on it coming out soon. David, have you been hitting your ripple this week? You've been getting on it?
Yeah, I got it on Friday, hit it over this
Okay.
weekend, and what's funny was I was on a court with everyone was using, or not everyone, but like there were people with Gen 3s and mods. And then I was the only one where people were complaining about me. Like there were like some remarks like, oh, that's that new illegal paddle, or like, oh, that's how fast that paddle hits. And at first I was like, huh, I mean, you guys are using Gen 3s, maybe you guys just don't go to the gym enough. But then I picked up my old Ripple, and then I was like, okay, I think this actually does hit a bit harder. There was definitely, I found a difference. Like, I saw there was less dwell time on it, and I think I was hitting it harder. Like, my putaways were just, I would put my hand up, and then people would just, like, they wouldn't even try. They would just back off.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to get hit.
I found that, too, when it goes up. Matthew, have you hit the Ripple yet?
I got the updated 214, I think, yesterday, and I have not hit with it yet.
Tell me, okay, you don't know which one's which. Tell me if you can hear a sound difference here. I'm going to bounce it because there's people talking about there's a sound difference. Can you hear that pretty good?
I hear the thunk.
Okay.
Go ahead. I mean, and that's a higher pitch.
Higher pitch, yeah.
So you could definitely hear the difference, right? I mean, they're both pretty loud, right? Both
pretty loud. Are you using the same weight setup on both of them?
Yeah, same weight setup, although the previous model, I guess we'll call it the beta, is like a 107 swing weight, comes in at like 7.7, 7.8 ounces. The new one is like 112 swing weight, and it's probably 8.1. So a little bit of a difference between the two. Models, and yeah, it does hit harder, so I mean, obviously a little heavier, it's going to hit harder out right off the gate, but I feel like the beta had like a little bit of a break-in period, and maybe they like did something where there doesn't need to be a break-in period for this one, and it just kind of is already hitting hard out of the box. I'm not sure. I don't think anyone's going to be able to put enough time on it to really know, because it seemed like the betas were they didn't break right away for some people. It seemed like it took a while. So I think the most time anyone's had this is like 2 weeks. I don't know if that's going to be enough time to know for sure if they're going to break. But yeah, definitely a different sound, but they're both loud. And that's with the same weight setup. So I don't know what to make of that.
Well, the owner did tell me like the big change was that the top area of the paddle has been reinforced, which apparently was to prevent a loose edge guard or broken edge grid. And for anyone that isn't in the know, like Rhombus's later paddles, more recent paddles, the edge grid is the thing that's been consistent. And now I'm sure you've already talked about what the Ripple is like.
Yeah,
on the channel.
They were coming apart like right here, it seemed like right at that corner. From what I saw, I'm sure there was different problems, but it seemed like that was the area. And I was putting a ton of weight on this at first for the beta. I still put a decent amount of weight on it. But yeah, I mean, we can save all the talk. I mean, it does hit really hard. I still think it's going to be really popular. Like I see courts just filled with Yolas and Ripples and Paddle Techs. That's all I can see now. Like, you're going to go to tournaments and it's just going to be full of that. So
of the three of us, I think I am the softest hitter. And yeah, I've been working on my Paddle Tech video for a while now. And speaking of how the pro game ended, I mean, I think with all of the new paddles coming out, like the game was already on a trajectory to get fast and hard, but even at a rec play level with random folks, like I've really had to sort of change my own game to sort of adapt. And so it is sort of like adapt to the drive or get ready to be body bagged. So
yeah, it's definitely getting faster out there. I mean, like, a lot of the guys that I play with are using like the Yola Gen 3S, Paddle Techs. And then, I mean, some people don't, but like, it's definitely, Yola's got a presence for sure in the areas I play. So I see too many.
But even lower level players.
Oh, like, yeah.
I do a lot of like just open play, and I just see a ton of pricey paddles that hit really hard in the hands of like brand new players. Mm. And I mean, they're coming at your eyes a lot of the time. So, and there's really not a good way to reset that shot. You can always duck out of the way, but I've had to sort of switch my style with the way the tech's going, which I've been working on it. That's why I'm so behind on uploads. Like testing power paddles has been a real shift for me.
Okay. Yeah. You're seeing a ton of power paddles too, I'm sure, David, around.
Yeah. I think the Gen 3s have been popping up more, mainly because like the facilities I play with, like they have a partnership with Yola. Mm-hmm. And then so they just give them for the employees, and then the employees like are teaching people, and then they pick it up, the Gen 3. So I've been seeing more of those recently.
Yeah, it does. It seems like them not being USAP certified hasn't made a difference. I see a ton. And that kind of brings me to this next segment. I got a list of paddles here that or paddle companies that submitted their intent to apply for a provisional approval for the UPAA like interim certification or whatever. So this doesn't really mean anything, I guess, but it's kind of like which companies are looking to work with the UPAA. So I guess, I mean, for me, it was kind of interesting. Like these are the companies that seem like they are going after that certification in the future. Obviously, we saw today, Augie playing with the Batic. It's still like they're allowing, you know, all the USAP paddles still. But I don't know what the exact date is, but sometime next season, actually, it might be the start. Like they're going to start not allowing unless they're UPAA approved. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to read this list and see if you guys can pick out the big – really, there's a big one, but you can say big two that are missing from this list. And there's kind of actually a lot more than I thought there was going to be, but there's quite a bit. So we have Adidas. no one's going to be really excited to play with that. Carbon, Franklin, Gearbox, Head, Holbrook, Hustle. Anyone heard of Hustle before?
This is my first time hearing about that.
I don't know who they were either. Yola, Lotto, some Italian brand. They make shoes, and I guess they just made some paddles. I know
they do. Pablo Tellez's paddle.
Okay, so they got one pro. I mean, I guess it makes sense. You need a pro if you're gonna make this work. Yeah. So I don't. That's the thing about Hustle. I'm like, they must have someone if they're gonna do it. So Knox, I could not even find this company. You guys heard of Knox Pickleball? Yeah, I was looking. It's just like that. That naming is really, it comes too much stuff comes up, so I like could not find anything.
Yeah, Knox.
Onyx, Paddletech, Pickle, ProKennex, Proton, ProXR, Reload. I was surprised Reload was going for it because don't know any Reload pros, and I really haven't seen too many Reload. Actually, I've seen one Reload paddle, and it's in my house, and so that's about it. Revlin, I was surprised to see Revlin. You guys both know Revlin, but they're a company out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, so in my home state. I was surprised to see them. I don't think there's any pros playing with Revlin, right? I mean, anyone know?
No, I know of.
Oh, 6-0. Thrive, and Belair, Vulcan, and Wilson. I don't think anyone's playing with Wilson yet, but obviously they have money behind them, so. Any can you guys name the big fish that's not on that list?
Was Gearbox? Did you mention them?
Yep, Gearbox is on there.
Oh.
Think of the next biggest brand besides Yola.
No, Selkirk?
Yep. No. So Selkirk wasn't on the list. I mean, doesn't mean that they won't be working with them, but so far it seems like they're playing hardball. So I don't know what that would mean if like Selkirk's like, yeah, I'm not gonna work with UPAA. Like, would they just go over to the APP and try to like take their players with them? Because I feel like they have enough players where they could maybe do that. I don't know how that would work. Because
I guess it depends on like the contracts.
Yeah, they're under contracts.
You don't have to be like, oh, you guys have to come with us to
yeah,
APP.
I mean, they can't make them, and also like. Obviously, if they can't use the pad, they would have to use a different paddle on the tour if like Selkirk wasn't allowed. I'm sure like Selkirk will probably have to cave. I don't know how else they would go forward. But what do you guys make of that? Like, do you think Selkirk is willing to, you know, play this game and just say we're not going to work with you and get the certification?
I think the whole thing is. I mean, yeah, I don't, because are the players allowed to play with a different paddle brand? So it sort of reminds me of some stuff we've seen in other pro sports, like the whole, I watched the Netflix series about pro golf. So maybe there's some chicken going on right now.
Gotcha. What happened in golf? Like they were doing the same thing with brands?
Yeah, I mean, I don't follow golf, but I do like my sports docs on Netflix. And so they had a pretty good series, and basically a rival organization popped up and created some challenges, brought some players over. And then ultimately what happened was they merged, or that might be an oversimplification, but the two governing bodies merged and shared power and shared all the financial benefit. I don't really have a strong perspective on how it's going to affect the pro circuit, these new certifications and new governing bodies. I do have a pretty strong point of view of how it's affecting like non-professionals, consumers, rec players. And I do think there are some issues like that are going to trickle down into the rec play space that are a little disheartening, a little troublesome.
What do you find troubling? Give me an example. what are these? Let me tell you the way I see it. I think that next year we're just going to see both of them operate their certifications, and either will be fine in rec play. I think it's going to be too hard to, like, you know, battle. Be like, oh, I'm team USAP, I'm team UPAA. I think it's just going to be like, hey, they're both fine. That's the way I see it going forward.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely not an expert, but my summary of what sort of happened, my oversimplification of it is, you know, a new governing body came into the room and challenged the existing one. And there's a lot of reasons why folks were upset with the existing one, right? And then ultimately to sort of arm themselves, and this is what I think happened, to sort of arm themselves with the financial ammo that they needed, like, and to sort of fix the problems that they were having regarding paddle regulations, they upped fees, right, for the companies submitting. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, to play in either world, smaller companies are having to put more money in. And sort of like as a reviewer and as someone that started pickleball at the rec level and was just looking for the biggest bang for my buck, like finding small companies that had sort of some parameters, the USAP parameters at the time, like you sort of knew what you were getting, and it sort of created a somewhat level playing field at rec play. Because where I play out in SoCal, like USAP, like that's mostly what you saw aside from the beginner Amazon paddles, right? But then all the stuff happened with the Yolas and all that. And then I actually don't see a lot of the UPA or the non-USAP approved Yolas where I play, but just it definitely became the Wild West for a minute with the kinds of paddles that were out. And now I think Larry over at Kiwi Labs put a pretty good video out on their channel, sort of from the company perspective, company owner's perspective. And it really does seem like we're going to see fewer companies sort of elbow their way in. And ultimately, if all of the bigger companies are the ones sort of like, I don't want to use the word colluding in like a legal term, but if they're banding together for certain regulations and all of this stuff, and they're regulating themselves, I think eventually they're going to settle on a price point. And then there won't be the challengers of the lower level or the entry level companies, because the barriers to get them approved for whatever organization are just going to be so costly. So, and I know lots of people think this will just weed out the bad companies or the ones not doing a good job, but I also think it's going to weed out some companies that sort of, I did a whole video about like what makes good pickleball companies, but I think we're going to see less like 11-6-24s, for example, like break into the space with a paddle that wasn't doing something all too different with their original paddle, the YSF, and now they're doing stuff that's super amazing, right? And so we're going to see less players come onto the scene that are sort of bringing that innovation and that spirit of like trying something, because they won't have a chance to earn the capital at the start. So you'll really just have to have capital behind you.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What do you think, David? Do you think that people just use both next year? Like any certification will be fine? Like rec play, non-PPA tournaments?
Yeah, I personally think in rec play it'll be fine. I mean, what happened at my league last week was my partner just brought it an Oni, and no one even knew it was illegal. And then I think we brought it up to someone afterwards, and then they're just like, you know, if you hadn't said anything, I would have never known. And then he just brought up the point about even if you brought this to a tournament, because it says USAAP approved on it, which you can get it on any paddle, those factories just print it for you. They're not going to know. They're just going to I don't know if you guys have ever been to tournaments where with the refs, all they do is check the surface. They don't look up the paddle itself. Yeah. And I think even in tournaments, you could probably just get away with it. People aren't going to know. There's just too many brands out there. And especially at rec play, people generally aren't that up to date on is this actually approved? Is this approved? Or this might just be a new brand I've never heard of that just came onto the scene because so many come out. And I'm guessing it's approved because you're using it. And as long as everyone's having fun, should be fine, as you know, at least for rec play.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny that you say when the ref comes up and touches your paddle, because I use the Ripple R2 in my last tournament, and they're like, oh, this is cool that has these waves and ripples. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so even they felt that, and they're like, that's cool, what is that? And so I don't even know if, because I think that's why I'm still not 100% sure why, if they lowered it just because of the construction issues they're having, or if USAP told them to get rid of the ripples. But yeah, it's wild. I think you could even go with the Diadem Hush, and you could probably go play a tournament, and
yeah, you could probably get away with that.
You probably could get away, yeah. But yeah, also Engage not on that list. That was the other one. But so that's a, they've been around in the pro scene for a while, so that's a pretty big one too, if they decide they don't want to. But they already were cutting down their pro, so we'll see. Also, I guess the PPA is pushing their players, they're having, they want the players to go back to their company and advocate for getting the approval. So there's other random companies out there too, I guess. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I think Ace is even on the the board of UPAA, but they didn't submit intent to apply.
I forgot they're on the board.
Yeah, so that's kind of strange. They're on the board. So I mean, I think Selkirk's on the board too. And but like I said, still time to apply. That was just the intent that they were going to apply. So, yeah, that's all I have on that. I did have another, this isn't really a segment, but it has to do with last week when the video that went viral just before we started recording, where the guy, you have to have seen this, right, Matthew? The guy that got kicked in the head. Come on. You're not living under that many rocks, are you?
And Jacob, I was really disappointed with how you handled that. I did not appreciate you kicking that person.
I didn't know how to handle it, because I'm like, I didn't want to, give that guy too much attention. But then I saw what everyone else was saying, and people were making memes out of it. And I was like, man, I think people are taking this too far. I was like, the guy did just get knocked out. I'm pretty sure he got a concussion from that. But people were going hard on that. I mean, geez. But I guess the guy that got kicked was the guy who was sending the video to everyone. So he wanted it to get out there. He didn't press charges, from what I heard. Did you guys see the extended point? There's they showed maybe 2 points before he got kicked.
No.
Okay. It was the guy who did, I think the guy who kicked the guy in the head got called for a foot fault. So it wasn't even something that the other guy did, right? He didn't call the foot fault. actually, that bridges me into my next point. But let me finish this. But yeah, like I think really the most egregious thing he did was slap the paddle out of his hand.
Which I thought looked like an accident. Like, I thought it was like a five. Like, you really think the intent was to knock on the ground? Like,
I don't know. So I don't remember what I said last week, but after you watching it, I think it was a little bit of aggressive paddle slap. I don't know. David, you think he tried it? He
meant to do it? I don't think he wanted to hit it out of his hand.
He was probably just really, I mean, he was obviously excited, because I didn't we didn't know it was a tournament final match last week when we recorded, because we just saw it. We didn't have any backstory. All we saw was the clip. So, it was a tournament finals match in Mexico, I guess. I don't know. You ever had any? You have any stories from the court? Was there any like an angry moment that you've seen, Matthew? That you're like,
me?
Yeah.
I mean, just to like clarify, I definitely think the guy that kicked shouldn't have done that. I think that's. I'm sure we all agree on that.
Yes, I hope so.
And then yeah, the memification. Like, I saw a lot of like paddle like influencer or pickleball influencers sort of using that. I guess it's interesting that the person that was kicked like shared that, but I was like, I'm not sure that's like the best thing to be using. But yeah, I definitely I think, I don't know, maybe I think blame everything on power paddles, but I definitely think at rec play and some league play, like, the game is getting more aggressive, and I think a lot of people's like competitive spirits are getting triggered outside of like tournament play. In a league I played, like a really like chill league, I saw something happened and someone like jumped up, like charged over to the other side of the net. And then personally, like, I like to play rec play with some older folks in the mornings out here, and so it's pretty casual. You're able to test out a lot of dinking and try different things. But someone had one of the new, or I guess it was probably the Gearbox Ultimate, and he clearly hadn't had it too long and was getting used to the touch, and he almost hit me in the eyes. But since I'm like amazing at pickleball, I was able to dodge it, right? Mm-hmm. But he did end up, at some point, he hit my partner in the face, or maybe it hit him somewhere in the body, but ultimately the ball hit his face either by deflection. There's some argument as to how it happened, but when I started learning pickleball, if you hit a strike a ball and that ball, no matter what loops it jumps through or roller coaster it goes on, if it ends up hitting someone in the face, it's customary to say sorry. Like, that's always been what I was told. And I think that was game point as well. And the guy didn't apologize to my partner, and I sort of called him out on it. And then he actually put up quite a fit that carried off court. And he said, why should he apologize for a shot that's good? And first off, it's not a good shot, because if the person I was playing with was more advanced, they would have stepped out of the way. That's one that came to mind. Some folks getting a little heated. Mm.
I hear you. If someone hit me in the face and didn't at least like raise their hand or say sorry, I'd probably be upset too. But yeah, I mean, that's going to happen more. The hotter these paddles are, you're gonna get hit in the face more. That's what, I always wear glasses because of that reason. Just been doing it for a year and I'm used to it now. So
yeah, but that's the thing. I don't know if a lot of rec players know to do that. Like, I like occasional players, and so yeah, it goes back to like how the paddles are getting pretty hot.
Yeah. I don't know. Regular players definitely know, but yeah, saying if you only play like once every other week or something, probably don't even think about it, right? Like I didn't think about it when I started playing. You don't need protection in tennis, so you come and play pickleball. Yeah. You're like, I don't need that. I didn't know I could lose my eye, but you know, there was a post a while ago. Someone lost an eye. I imagine it's pretty rare, but it can still happen. So.
In pickleball,
it was like an older lady. She lost her eye. She lost the vision. At least I don't know if she lost her eye, but she lost vision in the eye. So maybe she regained it now. Hopefully. But that kind of brings me to another story. A local player. This is like so in Grand Rapids. I wish it was closer, but they have this cool thing. It's called Thursday Night Pickleball. They do a tournament every Thursday. Whether it's men's, women's, or mixed, they just, you know, they run the whole tournament and they invite, like, you know, higher level players from, I mean, I don't know if you have to, like, apply to go or, like, whatever. I mean, most of the players are around that area, but some people from my area travel over there. Someone didn't agree with a line call, argued a little bit, and it was 10-5. They were serving. It was, like, 10-5-2. They go to serve, and they go for the nasty Nelson, and to get it as a game winner. So I was like, what do you guys think about that? Nasty Nelson for a game winner. Okay with it in the tournament setting? Or you're like, you probably don't want to do that.
I mean, I think it's fair in a tournament. I think rec plays where I'm not a huge fan of it. Like, you know, I get why people, if it's just like for fun, mm-hmm. especially if you're doing it on someone you don't know and you like hit them in rec play, like that's just like, that's unacceptable. But if it's like your friend and you're just messing around, like, that's probably fine. But in a tournament, I think, you know, you're least expecting it and you get hit. Like, I think you should be on guard for that. Yeah. And I personally think it's allowed because it's in the rules. It's a tournament. Like, people are just trying to win. And if you get caught, you get caught because it's a high risk shot anyways.
Would you be all smiles after you get hit, David?
I would not, but I'd be like, you know, it's obviously like my own fault for letting it happen.
So. Yeah. Would it fire you up though?
Oh yeah, it definitely fire me up.
Don't no nasty Nelson you at the start. Go only on the winner.
Yeah, only on the winner.
What about you, Matthew? Well, have you been nasty Nelson before in a tournament too? If you have, like, you know.
I mean, I focus on rec play, but I would say nasty Nelsons even in rec play are fair when the player's hugging the middle line. And especially if they get out of the way, your ball would still land in. So like, if you put a lot of, I have a particular serve that it will stay on the left, but will land in the right. And if they're hugging, like one time I had it go behind them, they're hugging and still get in. And so, but that's probably like, I think that maneuver would imply if the person's hugging the middle line, it implies they're at least know what they're doing. Like, cause they're sort of baiting you. Mm. If you're just like with random people, like, and it's super mixed level, like I don't see the point of doing a nasty Nelson unless you're like sadistic. Like I don't like the point's over, like you don't get a play. Like,
yeah.
So, but yeah, so I think I'm okay with nasty Nelsons, especially if it's being provoked, especially if they do move out of the way, your ball would still land in. But as far as like when I get hit, I get ticked off. Like I'm practicing all my mindfulness. Like, I definitely don't like being body bagged in warmups. And so like, I think that should be not allowed for warmups.
I'll just apologize to Fran if you've listened to this. I'm sorry. I have body bagged her in warm ups. It's my fault. Thank you. It wasn't intentional. But yeah, I'm okay with the nasty Nelson in tournaments. Obviously, if you don't know someone in a tournament and you body bag or you nasty Nelson them, I would imagine you might not become friends afterwards. You know, but I imagine you're probably, you know, you're looking to win the tournament. You're not looking to make friends. And then rec play, I agree. Don't be nasty Nelson and people you don't know. But yeah, fair in the tournament. I would definitely save it for that game point. You don't want to fire someone up, I think. Like, you could rattle them too, but I think most of the time you're just going to get more energy out of them because, like, they're gonna be pretty mad.
Yeah.
Also, I guess in mixed, if you've bought Quentin Nasty Nelson, the woman in mixed, that's probably pretty bad too. Like, I personally wouldn't do that, even if I'm like, it's gonna be a free point. I think it would just look worse.
Well, that has happened to me where they were hugging the line and I expected them to.
Hey, you gotta clear them off that, you know, just like baseball, you know, crowd in the plate, give them a little.
I'll say it shook me more than them. Like, I couldn't play. I felt so bad.
You're like, oops.
Yeah, I was very. I apologize.
So you replayed the point?
I could. Did we replay it? Oh, I don't think we did. But
well, I mean, we're not going to go that far.
Yeah, but then their partner went for me as well. But it was a more reckless. Like, it wasn't the one where it happened for me was what I just described, where it would have swerved in, but. Yeah, it could rattle the doer of I don't know who's the Nelson in a Nasty Nelson, but if it's the hitter or the hittee, but it could rattle.
Well, the shot party, yeah. The shot is the Nasty Nelson. So
all right,
yeah, like
then either side of the Nasty Nelson, that person could get rattled. So
yeah. All right, that I mean, anything else on that? That's all I had. I find it an interesting topic because I like to ask people. People always have a. It seems like actually most of the people I played with that I asked, they're fine with it. I don't think anyone said no, but you know, like still with that back of the, like I could tell it's like if you do it to me, gonna be angry about it. It's hard. Like if I got hit with the Nasty Nelson, I'm gonna be mad, but.
I will say now that paddles are becoming faster, like it's going to be easier to Nelson someone if they're not paying attention. Like if you serve a ripple and like just catch someone unaware, like they're not going to have that much time to dodge.
Yeah. The problem is you hit them in the face by accident. You're going to just look like a huge.
Yeah. Then you feel bad.
You're just going to look terrible. You're going to just look so bad. But just part of the risk of going for that Nasty Nelson.
And one other thing, not to drag it out, but. Yeah. That person should be watching where the serve lands. So they are sort of being called, like they should be alert and attentive because that's one thing that is sort of like as the serves are getting faster and harder, like I am more reliant on my partner to call make the line calls when I'm the serve returner. And so just more reason to be awake because you don't want to be hit, but you also need to help the person doing the return.
Do you think that's like a next level trash talk then if you Nasty Nelson them and then say like, you really should have been paying attention. Like you're just not awake out here. So I had to do it to teach you a lesson.
I mean, I would say if I was in that position, I would say I did it for your partner. You're really not helping watch that line. So.
Well, if you do that, please record it so we can see the reaction to the what they say. I'm sure that it will be a very friendly conversation.
Yeah, it will be the next ad campaign for all the influencers.
It'll be the Mexico tournament fight part two.
Yes.
All right. Anything else, David, on the Nasty Nelson or any other controversial on the court antics that you like to pull?
No, I would stay out of it.
Yeah, same. All right, paddle talk. How do you even pronounce the? Is it Luz? Luz?
I think it's Luz. Matthew
okay?
Luz.
Yes, I am gonna be trying some of those out soonish. I'm way behind, so we'll see.
Yeah, people thought I was using a Gen 3.
It does look like that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Is it
how do they hit?
No, so they actually remind me a bit of the Apes paddles, the Pulse.
Oh, okay.
Because they do have that edge wall and they're very like solid feeling. Like you can feel them pocket the ball in, and they all have a high twist weight. Like both of these, I think, is 7.12 for a twist weight.
Wow.
That is an elongated shape.
Yeah, I was gonna ask.
It's 121 too. So they both feel pretty nice. Like their first paddle was like a standard Gen 1. Like it was good, Gen 2. Like it was a fine paddle, and I think it went for like 100 or 120. And then I think these go for like the 190 price point. And I didn't expect much, but when I did hit them, I was like, these are actually pretty solid. They're not like, I wouldn't classify them as power paddles. They're more all court, but very solid feeling. They pocket the ball. Remind me a bit of the Pulse. I need to get my Pulses back to compare them side by side, but I was actually really surprised by these.
Okay, cool.
And go ahead. Is that the company that's also doing like one that's sort of, they're not trying to approve an experimental paddle? Am I?
No, I think I know what you're talking about, but it's not Luz.
Yeah, okay. I think I got contacted by them too. They like have like three paddles or something, and they're doing experimental.
Right, yeah. Non-Luz, okay.
That would be interesting to see though. I think I don't know if we were talking about last time or time before, like more companies doing these experimental paddles and just bypassing all the certification, since you know, like in rec play, no one's really checking. So
well, like Body Helix is actually doing a test with that. Like they're selling a USAP approved paddle, and they're selling the exact paddle without the stamp at a lower price. And so now that they're, which stamp are you paying for? Like, I think that's open, and the fees getting higher, I think we're going to see more companies sort of play around with that idea. And then I think the whole sort of like doing small batches and getting feedback the way 11.6.24 did with the Alpha. And I don't know if it was intentional, but with Rhombus did with the Ripple, like sort of doing instead of dropping all the like massive batches at once, like with like what happened with the Yolas that got recalled and kind of with the Vatic Onis, like I think we might see more of this like small batch, slow rollout, engaging, like pickleball has the most like engaged like tech heads there are. And so I think it might be something we see more of, like non-approved paddles and stuff like that. Yeah,
you're giving yourself away. You must have not tuned in to the last couple episodes because
I have it on my queue. So.
We got to catch up on those old episodes, Matthew. But for sure, we agree with you.
Dang. Well, there are a lot of podcasts.
I know. There's
we're just messing with you.
Just kidding. No, but yeah, I for sure think it's a good way to go. And I mean, I'm actually surprised people haven't done it yet. You know, like the Vice came out so long ago, you would have thought like other companies would be like, yeah, sure. It seems like people like that power paddle and it's not legal, but they don't care. But
when the Vice came out at Rec Play, like everyone like was like that knew about it was like sort of upset, like if they had to play across from it. But now like there's so many paddles that are approved that are just as powerful. I feel there's like higher tolerance. Like I don't know, people like there's just so much stuff. Like I don't think you can really be like. That's why you have, I mean, I think the people making glasses are going to be the real winners.
Yeah, I guess the Vice also was a little bit more, you could spot it right away, right? Like you definitely knew it was illegal. Whereas like something like these prototypes that they're making, like they probably are going to have a stamp on it maybe even. So you wouldn't even know. You're just like, yeah, someone just has, you know, some smaller brand paddle. I don't know about it. But we'll see. Next, Pat, did you have anything else to say about the Luz or the Lose?
No, still taking a look at them. I've hit them for a few days, but I'll probably do like a first look on it. No, you know, maybe next week or something.
All right.
And are they all elongated?
No, they have a hybrid one. I just don't have that one on me.
And they're carbon fiber, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It would be interesting if they play similar to the Pulses, and we'll see if they like break in like the Pulses. So any other paddles you guys wanted to talk about? Anything? You got something?
Yeah, what are you hitting these days?
What am I hitting? Since I've gotten the new Ripple, I've been hitting, you know, the R1 and R2 quite a bit, trying to compare them to other power paddles, getting, you know, like once I found out that they're going to be released pretty soon here, I'm like, I wanted to get on top of that. I think that this will probably be not the biggest launch of the year, but maybe like a top five launch of the year. With how much, it just depends how many they've sold already, I guess, through their Connect program. But I have not personally experienced more people asking me about this paddle than any other paddle. Like, I've gotten the most questions about it. I've got the most people asking if I can sell them one. I've got the most people asking to borrow mine. And I'm just like, no, 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 no. And I don't know when it's coming out. But now I finally know. So I'm expecting it to be the biggest launch. And I think it's good to have a competitor. Because if you think about it, there's really not that many competitors to, like, you have the Gearbox and you have the Mod, right? Mm-hmm. And now you'll have the Ripple. And this will be the first one that you can, that you can legally play, like, the R2 in the wide body shape, right? Like, and there's still no hybrid, like, true Gen 3 power to rival, like, the Gearbox and the Ripple and the Mod. But, that's what I've been hitting lately. I did, like, a top five hybrid paddle video with the Fire. I don't know if I'm gonna have like a full Fire review coming up. We'll see. You've been playing with the Fires. I know David's been playing. You're doing a Fire review this week. I just don't know if I have time with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, for me, I don't know if I'll do a full one. Probably just first look for me.
It sounds like I'm a bit more excited about the Fire paddles than you two are. I've been hitting with those, and then I'm way, way behind, and so my next big project that's coming out is actually on the paddle techs. And so
the ESQs?
Yeah.
Or we're talking
and the ALWCs. Okay. ALWCs. So it's gonna be a really long video. The script is freaking like too long.
Okay. Well, look forward to that. You know, if it's over 30 minutes, I'm going to fall asleep, but it's okay.
Well, just hit play when you're trying to go to bed.
All right. Yeah. I just got to get that watch time, right? Got to get that watch time. did you guys see in the Discord, like the chorus, like he's doing like a tally, like whose favorite pat, like for the shapes, like the SX, HX, and EX.
Oh, I didn't see that. I'm not in his thread.
Okay, yeah, he's doing a tally. So go in there later and give him the tally. He's got like all the reviewers that have weighed in so far on what their favorite shape is of the Fire series, and like some of the people that like he knows locally, I think, or I don't know who else has the Fire, but
is there a reason why there's not a high, like a traditional hybrid with the aero curve? Like, do we know this?
So personally, I don't know what his reasoning is. I think that he did some stuff with the construction to lower the swing weight. Like, a lot of the time they're doing that aero curve to reduce the swing weight, reduce the weight. Mm-hmm. But it comes at the cost of like the sweet spot and stability at the top. And I think that was why he did that. He didn't want to sacrifice the twist weight and stability at the top. That's just what I'm thinking. I'm not as shape sensitive as like it seems like some people are, like just in between the hybrid shapes. Like, I just kind of generally like that length of that, like 16.2, 16.3 inches. And whether it has an aero curve or the square top, it doesn't seem to really bug me. But you know, how do you guys feel? Does it bug you if it's not aero curve or square top?
I actually like the square top better than the aero curve or on a hybrid paddle. So I actually really like that HX shape. That's one of my new favorite ones, actually.
Okay. Well, that's big words, because you said you usually don't like the hybrids, so.
Yeah. That's because it's 16.2, so it's basically really similar to like a standard shape already, and I like standard shapes, so it's just like a standard shape with a bit more reach. So I've been vibing a lot with the Shapeshifter HX.
Oh, okay. Which one you've liked so far, Matthew?
On the Fire, whichever one is that smallest face is the one.
That's the best.
Yeah, that's one I prefer so far. Okay. But I've enjoyed them all, but that's the one that, like, you can be pretty aggressive with that one.
So what are your thoughts on the Fire, like, in terms of how hard they hit and, like, what do you think they compare to?
Yeah, I mean, I've only gotten one pretty good session. And I customize my paddles a little differently. I build the grips up to like 4.5 inches. So they're already a little, the balance point is probably altered. But I really enjoyed them. I personally think they had good spin, but I am like curious why the texture doesn't feel gritty. And so, but since I was actually coming from the paddle techs, and so switching to the Fires was actually pretty pleasant since I lean more control. Like it was nice to have that power. I mean, don't hold me to this. Like I have more testing to do, but I thought it was powerful from the baseline with full swings, but it didn't have like unmanageable pop at all for me. And so that's sort of more in my wheelhouse if I have to choose a power paddle to just like not have to concentrate as much. So I was enjoying it and I'm excited to actually didn't play this past week. So I'm excited to like try and get some games in soon.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. Am I an outlier? Is it, are people not liking the Fire ones? What's going on?
You go take it. I don't want to speak for everyone.
Well, for me, it's because I hit the Flare Prime X first, and then I kind of expected something similar in terms of firepower. And then for me, it was just, it felt like a powerful and poppy 14 millimeter in terms of a Gen 2 paddle. And I think that makes sense. I think Brayden brought it up on his podcast, but it's like a supposed to be a power paddle that uses different like surface layers in terms of that sense, but it doesn't use any like new tech. So if you're like going in with that mindset of like it's a Gen 2 with a bit more like pop and a bit more power because it's using that extra fiberglass, then yeah, you know, it's good in that sense. But if you're trying to compare it with what I think is like a Flare Prime, then that's where I'm like, okay, I had the expectation it was going to be up there for that power, and it just didn't go there for me. So that's my, I guess, at least for me, I'm just like, it wasn't what I expected. I wouldn't say it's a bad paddle, but it's I actually like the Shapeshifters better. So
yeah, I think that I kind of like built these up in my mind just because I've known about, you know, he's building it so long. And I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna be a, you know, a great power paddle, like very powerful. And then maybe I got my, you know, my thoughts got tainted by the Ripple too, like playing with that so much lately. But yeah, it's and it is on the stiffer side, which, like, I think someone posted a comment the first time I talked about it. Like, I didn't think it was stiff at all. And I was like, and I had to go play with it again. I'm like, am I crazy? I'm like, there's like. But I had other people play with it the first time I played with them, and since then, and everyone's kind of commented on the stiffness a little bit, and it's better with the weight. He's said that he's like designed them to be, like the intent was to put weight, and I just hope that doesn't come back to bite them, because I'm like, I still don't think as much people put weight on the paddle as he thinks that they do. It's just, you know, in the Discord, it's obviously a bubble. Like, everyone's customizing their paddle in the Discord. But I think that not everyone is customizing their paddle. And 4.5 inches on the grip is pretty insane. it's a thick grip right there.
Yeah, thick. Well, people roast me on that all the time, but I have loose hands.
Yeah, are your hands just really big? How tall are you?
No, I don't. When I just started playing pickleball, I read that about tennis. And, well, it's a long story, but I had like something happened with my arm, and then I went down a big rabbit hole before I knew anything. And now it's sort of what I'm used to. But it does track if you guys, because you both like probably seek out more firepower than I generally do. So it tracks that. Like if it's a paddle I'm like had a good first impression, it makes sense that it's not what you two are drawn towards. But and it was just a relief because like I've been playing with some like the paddle techs, mm-hmm. And some other power paddles, so it was yeah, I think it might have a wider appeal than we might be making it sound right now. TBD.
Yeah, maybe a bit. That's the thing. Sometimes I go in thinking a paddle's going to be very popular, and then it's just not the case. But usually I've been like pretty able to like guess which way things are gonna go lately, but we'll see. I don't know. Anything else, David, on the Flyers or the Shapeshifters?
No, I think I'm gonna try the Shapeshifters. I actually really like those a lot. Like I said, I really like that hybrid. I used it in my men's league last week, but I think tomorrow I'm gonna try the Fire. I added some weight to it. I've been hitting it with it against the Deacon Master, and it's starting to feel a bit better. I'm gonna use the hybrid one tomorrow, but yeah, maybe I'll update you guys next week on how I feel with the extra weight on it.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else on Failures or Shapeshifters, Matthew?
I mean, I haven't hit with the new Shapeshifters, and yeah, I haven't hit enough with the Fires to say more than I like them with my first few hits.
Okay. Would you say you have a main right now, or you just been switching too much to have a main?
If I had to say I had a main,
yeah,
it would be the J2 Titanium.
Okay.
But I got so behind on reviews, like I haven't really gotten to play with my main, and then switching to power paddle testing has been like, I honestly think like my main paddle might have to change, because it's just to play with the kinds of players that I'm trying to play with now, like I might need a little help, like, and now that we're in the power department, so I'm in a limbo period right now.
Okay. You have a main right now, David? Where are you taking to the tournament?
I don't play. Haven't played in a tournament in a while.
What are you taking to your men's league? Whatever you're testing that day.
Yep. All so right. Fire tomorrow. It was going to be the Ripple tomorrow, but I think because of all the comments I had over the weekend, not bring the Ripple. I think I've got a good idea of it already. So
yeah. Yeah. Luckily, I don't have to worry about people complaining, since they already have. Everyone's using the power paddle, so it's like I more need the power paddle to keep up. Like you were saying, Matthew, it's just like makes testing other paddles harder when the ball they have such much more advantage just from coming from the paddle. I don't know. I got to find something else to hit besides the Ripple next week, because I can't just go Ripple. Although this week. What is this? This next week is Thanksgiving, so let me. This is coming from the Southern Pickleball Podcast. You guys ever watch that podcast?
No,
I'm gonna shout out them. I think they do it. They do a fun segment called Gold, Silver, and Bronze, and they just do it about anything. So. I'll show you the example, since no one's seen this before. But basically, we'll do Thanksgiving food, and you're going to have a gold medal Thanksgiving food, a silver medal Thanksgiving food, and a bronze medal Thanksgiving food. So it's kind of like a mini tier list for different things. So I didn't even think about this, but I'm going to go gold medal for Thanksgiving food is like, a delicious macaroni and cheese, like really, really good macaroni and cheese. If they make it just right, it's a gold medal for me. My silver medal is, this probably could have been a gold medal. Silver medal, we do Cornish hen. It's just delicious the way my wife makes it. And then bronze medal, I would say, is probably like a really good dinner roll. My uncle in the past used to make like homemade bread, but just some kind of like bread or really good roll to go with that macaroni and cheese and Cornish hen. I like to make sandwiches out of it. So that's the medal stand, they call it. I don't know if I'll call it that, but I thought it was a cool segment they do on like random topics and pickleball topics. Any of you two ready? Who want any volunteers to go gold, silver, and bronze for Thanksgiving food?
Yeah, I can go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, I would say gold for me, probably mashed potatoes and gravy, because I think that one's the hardest to mess up. I would go mac and cheese, but I would bump that down to silver for me because it's really dependent on who makes it and how they make it. Which is why you had to specifically say like if it's made well. But I think mashed potatoes is like very tough to mess up. Bronze, I think I would go cornbread for me.
That's a good one
Yeah,
too.
because I think that's also tough to mess up. Even out of the box, it's pretty good. So, you know, it's yeah, it's like three things that are just not really easy to mess up. So,
Gotcha. Oh, and if you have a food that you don't eat, you want to throw that in there. Anything that you're like you see at Thanksgiving, you're like it's a hard avoid for you.
not really a hard avoid, but I've never really understood the point of cranberry sauce. Maybe I haven't had a good one,
Okay,
but I
so
just like to use
cranberry
it.
sauce is the Adidas of Thanksgiving. You heard it here.
Yeah, it's the metal bone on the
The
table.
metal bone on the table. I think cranberry sauce like out of the can is not good, but like if someone makes it, it's pretty good. That's what I would say. I like it. But I don't make it, so I don't know. Matthew, give us that gold, silver, and bronze for Thanksgiving. We know you are just up in the kitchen cooking on that turkey, preparing at
So,
4 a.m.
yeah, well, I'm not the best chef, so these awards are sort of more food memory related. But I'd say the gold is sort of an unusual dish that I'm originally I'm from Arkansas, so some southern food. And there's a dish that my grandma would make called wilted lettuce salad, which is just greens with bacon grease poured onto it, and it's really good. But it's definitely like a dish from the mountains. It's not
I guess
super
is that
common.
kind of like not I guess it's not exactly like collard greens because they make it, you know.
No, it's because it's not exactly like that. It's because it's but yeah, it's really good if you like bacon. And then my silver would be when there's really good fried chicken on the table, because I would choose that over turkey, even on
Yeah, me too.
Thanksgiving. And then my number one is sort, or I guess my silver bronze. Am I on
Yeah, you're
bronze?
on
Yeah, you're
bronze,
on
but you
bronze.
can switch it to gold if you need to.
Oh, well, they're all, I love them all. So would be green beans, but not like traditional, like hard, long green beans, slow cooked for like hours with bacon, and some white vinegar, and they're really soft and pretty delicious. And so, and that's also like they, you don't get them every day of the week. So those are my three. And I have an
Interesting.
honorable mention too.
Go for it.
The honorable mention is chocolate pie, which is basically like pudding pie with some really good meringue on it. And so those are my holiday favorites.
I don't have like a specific dessert in mind, but I definitely love dessert. So like you know, like I love something nice and sweet afterward if I have room. Yeah, so that's it. That's the medal stand. Thank you, Southern Pickleball. Go check out them if you want. Appreciate the gold. I just found their medal stand segment pretty cool. Anything else going around the table, David? You have anything else to say? Did anything coming up you want to talk about?
No, but real quick, I did try out padel for the first
Oh
time.
yes, the padel.
I tried padel yesterday, and yeah, it was actually pretty fun, but it's like super pricey because it's expensive to build those courts. It was an indoor facility, but shout out to my friend Mo who brought us in, taught us how to play. I tried to hit a two-handed backhand as a volley, and then I was just like, "Hey, David, you know we don't use two hands here. Everything is a slice, so don't stop trying to hit topspin shots too." But it was funny because it's like the complete opposite. So when you're serving, you immediately go to the net, and your partner's already at the net. And then so like the second shot's basically like either the drop or the lob, and most of the times it's the lob. But all of us were coming from pickleball, so we were all just dropping it as like our first initial instinct. It's like, hey, the guy who knew how to play was like, "Yo, you just lob it, and you try to get it so it like lands like so it like bounces." but then hits the wall right after. So you're trying to get it into that spot. So they're like, oh, do I overhead it? Do I let it bounce and have to hit it off the wall? So it was a lot of fun, though. A lot less wrist. And surprisingly, I thought I was going to get hit, but, you know, it didn't happen.
Did you find that you overhit coming from pickleball? Like, where your ball's going hard? Yeah.
Yeah,
that deflated tennis ball and that giant. It's interesting.
The paddles are more powerful too, right?
Yeah, they're heavier. I forget how many ounces they were, but they're all heavier.
Yeah, and they're super thick. And then it's the deflated tennis ball, but that's actually growing in popularity out here. So I hope to. I played once, but not in the States. But I hope to play again because it was fun.
Yeah,
it's just expensive,
but it is a lot of fun.
Groovin has padel paddles, so you can get in on reviewing those.
They're like $300 or something, like
same price as a new Yola or Selkirk Labs.
Yeah,
but they probably last longer. Oriental. I imagine. I'll have to get out there and play. There's a facility that opened up last year, but I didn't want to play and like tempt myself if I'm like, oh, I like padel better. So I just didn't want to take the risk.
Yeah, I would say if I had switched from tennis to padel first, I probably would have stuck with padel instead of pickleball. But I'm already committed to pickleball now, so I can't switch over.
Too far in the hole. Yeah, I mean, padel is probably like a more natural transition because you don't have to like change your stroke, right? Like, well, you probably hit it differently, but you hit tons of slice in tennis, so it's...
It's like every shot's like basically a slice. It's like a slice, like when you're... Serve receiving when you're serving as a slice and then slice lob. So
interesting. I have to go watch some padel videos. They always have crazy. I always like the crazy highlights where they're like running out of the area to like go hit a ball. And I'm like,
yeah, I wanted to do that, but the facility is like kind of cramped. So I was like right next to a wall. So if I did, like, I would have to go outside into the wall and like squeeze through. And I was like, nah, I wouldn't get it in time. Or I have to like run out to the other side and like go through the snack bar and hit it like over the Doritos to get it over to the other side. But
I'm sure only like pro matches they have enough room to be like running out the doors and stuff. So we were gonna touch on stuff we're working on to improve, but we're probably running pretty long, so we'll talk about that next time. Matthew, if you have anything you want to tell us, it sounds like you're doing all kinds of fun stuff up over there. Anything coming up that we should look out for? Of course, go subscribe to Matthew K Pickleball and Tickle My Pickleball. Anything you want to share that you got cooking?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to catch up on some of the releases. And then I have a couple videos I'm working on of some paddles that haven't really been talked about. So be sure to go subscribe. I like to sort of find some sort of those hidden gems. Kudos to you guys for doing the podcast. Like, just being here the one time, it looks like a ton of work. And so like, keep pushing. Like, you guys, it seems like people are really enjoying this and like, I can definitely see the value. So thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for being here, man.
My favorite obscure review you did was the paddle that had a bottle opener on the end so that you could open your beers while you're playing.
You were one of 300 people that watched that video.
I appreciate the obscure videos. I have been in situations where I could have used that paddle at like... Only at like private courts, because like I think most public courts, it's a little frowned upon to be cracking that bottle open. But
I urge them to consider creating like their own sort of like take on a slice speed gap and make it an accessory. But I don't think they've taken me up on that advice just yet.
Yeah, they could have done some like
viral
videos with that, I think. But
yeah, and I think they have a patent, so.
Don't be trying to make that slice.
So the slice bottle. I think they should do it.
All right. Well, hopefully you have some cool ones like that coming up. maybe it comes with the suction cup next time too, so you can pick your balls up.
Jacob, I have quality content here. You're killing me right now.
I'm just joking about that. I don't know. The bottle opener one just sticks in my memory.
You messaged me as soon as I dropped.
I thought it was hilarious. It's like, this is great. I guess I was the only one super hyped about it.
You were.
David, any I don't know if you remember anything like a bottle opener, but any obscure paddles in your memory that doesn't have to be from Matthew Case, like that you still think about to this day?
Obscure paddles. I think probably just that aluminum one we talked about one time where I felt a lot of vibrations in my hand, hit it for once, put it down. But mm-hmm. I think other than that one, like there are some random brands, and I think Matthew, we've talked about like, oh, is it safe to give this person our shipping address? So yeah, there are some of those brands where just like I think it's not worth it, especially the way you have so many typos. But you know,
yeah,
definitely props to you, Matthew, for taking a look at those obscure brands.
Yeah, well, I do worry about the address sometimes.
Yeah. We're gonna start letting Matthew give the address out first to make sure we don't get it. Yeah. But I that makes me think, like, I want to roll up to the courts with like a group of four and we just all have the Bird Falcon Elites in our hands, and we just play a game and we act like everyone else is weird for using normal paddles.
Yeah, like, where do you get yours from? Is that yeah, Amazon
like paddle? what brand is that? Like, you guys don't use this. So I only have one of those, but probably won't buy more because they're like $200, I think.
Yeah, they're pretty pricey.
But maybe it's just like an all obscure paddle. You have like that. You have like a pickle. I'm trying to think what else that looks weird. Maybe the new Honolulu like super wide body, depending on how wide that is. That could probably look pretty weird. I don't know what else. But yeah, that'd be a fun day.
Well, you're a fan of the pickle paddles.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I just don't. I say pickle instead of pickle. My bad. It's my accent.
Chicken accent.
But yeah, the pickles. They do have a new one coming out. The wide body. I don't know if anyone's hitting it. I'm not hitting it. But yeah. Forever remember playing in the tournament with the pickle paddle. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, I think that's it, guys. Really appreciate you joining us, Matthew. It was a fun one. Definitely have you back. David, as always, a pleasure. But that's all, guys. That's all I have. Everyone, go have a great day. Play some pickleball. Go have some fun this week. Happy Thanksgiving.